It is Friday, July 12th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It's a wonderful day, not too hot. Oh, it's going to be glorious. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that I wish to draw your attention to is SpingolaSpeaks.info. It was created by one of our listeners, and I'm very grateful for those efforts. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.info. Chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of his most recent book, is Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It is a Kindle product. You may get that at Amazon.com. He is also the author of The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline, came out in 1988. He also wrote Tornado in a Junkyard, The Relentless Myth of Darwinism in 1999, and The Case of Against Darwin, Why the Evidence Should Be Examined, that came out in 2002, and Freedom Shall Return, which is a music CD, which came out in 2003. Welcome to the program, James.
Deanna, thank you so much for having me on. That's a great intro both to me and to your show.
Well, thank you so much. So we are going to be talking about your book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, Unmasking the Forces Behind Global Destruction. It is a wonderful book. You've covered so many topics in that book very concisely. And so we're going to talk today about the protocols, cyber tyranny, free trade, the destruction of nations, all of which we are seeing so much evidence of. And, of course, free trade has been around for a very, very long time and was formalized by NAFTA. And, boy, what a lot of things have happened just in the last two decades. So
yeah, the enemy has a foot on the accelerator, don't they?
Oh, indeed. Indeed they do. And we keep thinking, gosh, can it get any worse? And it just keeps getting worse.
You'll be able to answer to that question.
Yes. All righty. I have to open your book. I have the Kindle edition, which you were so generous to supply me with. And for people who would like to get that book, just go to Amazon.com. I really, really like Kindle. And you don't have to have a Kindle to use those editions. You can download the Kindle program and use it on your computer. And it's just a great way of getting the truth. And it's also, I think, very good, beneficial for the author. Don't you think so?
Well, yes, you can, in the Kindle book, you can click on hyperlinks I have there. So when I'm talking about Pearl Harbor, for example, you just click on the link to a BBC documentary on YouTube, and you automatically go to that documentary, which supports what I'm saying about Pearl Harbor. We have that throughout the book, so that's something you can't do with a hard copy. But I do want to mention, Deanna, that eventually I will try to come out with a hard copy, because I am hearing from people who say they just can't deal with the modern technology, and they just have to have an old-fashioned type of book. But that'll take some time, but it'll be there eventually.
Sure. All righty, we are going to a quick three-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to whatliesinyourdebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's whatliesinyourdebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com.
Morning. I don't know, our timing is kind of off or something. I'm getting confused here. Our guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior, The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline. And we were talking about Kindle and the fact that you can click on a link and go to a movie or a DVD, and you can do the searches. Just click on the magnifying glass and do a search for a particular word. And you can't do that in a paper copy. I love paper copies too. So both have their benefits. But, for quick searches and things, boy, there's nothing can beat Kindle.
Yes, it's a fantastic element. I quite frankly, due to a variety of circumstances, Deanna, I was not able to afford a print run this time around, and a friend of mine suggested, well, why don't you Kindle, and I found I could do it for 7% of the cost. But I also appreciate the fact that we're in a war, and I need to get a hard copy out there, so I am working on that as well.
Good. All righty. Let's, we talked about several things the first time that you were on the program. Let's go to Chapter 18 and talk about the most hidden book, and... I mean, it has been suppressed, and that is the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And we've talked about that on this program before with other guests. I've talked with other guests about this. And but anyway, give us your views about that book and what it means, what it has done, why they've concealed it.
Exactly. Well, Deanna, like many people, I'd heard that the protocols were a hoax invented by the Tsarist police in order to generate anti-Semitism. And I just assumed that was true, as many of my fellow conservatives do, who, like me, had never actually bothered to look at them. But, you know, more and more lies were becoming apparent to me that were in the media. And finally, one day I said, you know, maybe I'll just take a look at these protocols and see what they say, because I've never actually done that. And I was stunned by what I was reading. You know, I've written, had already written two books exposing the myth of Darwinism, which has been used to take away people's faith in God, make them think we all just came about by materialistic processes. And they're right in the opening passages of the protocols. It says, for let them that play the principal part that we persuade them to accept as the dictates of science theory, is with this object that we are constantly, by means of our press, arousing a blind confidence in these theories. Intellectuals will puff themselves up with their knowledges without any logical verification of them, these theories. And it says, do not suppose for a moment that these statements are empty words. Think carefully of the successes we arranged for Darwinism. And I was shocked by that because, you know, if in fact the protocols were generated by the Tsarist police to create anti-Semitism and riots in Russia, why would they bring Charles Darwin into it? Because, you know, to my knowledge, Darwin was not a significant figure in 1900 Russia. But I knew what they were saying about Darwinism was very true. And actually, I was fascinated, Deanna, when they talked about having arranged the success of Darwinism, because I knew that Darwin himself had not worked for a living. He did publish books. You know, he did go on an exploratory voyage as a naturalist right in his youth, but he lived on this huge estate with up to 8 servants, and the income he made from his books, they weren't really bestsellers, it wasn't that much, and he got an inheritance from his family. So I started looking at Darwin's finances, and found he made a fortune on investments, and his official biographer, Arthur Keith, said that he did this by making good stock picks. He said after studying, you know, naturalistic things, he'd lie on the sofa and read the London Times and pick out a stock that he liked. And it turned out he picked out only winners. In fact, going through his ledgers, Arthur Keith found that Darwin picked 34 stocks, and all 34 made a profit. He never took a loss. And I said, well, you know, even Warren Buffett will admit he's made a bad stock pick. So how does this naturalist always pick the right stocks? And then his son, William Darwin, was selected to be a partner at the age of 22 in a very prestigious bank. Even though the Darwin family and his son had no background in banking, it was obvious that to me that someone was helping Darwin along. But that was the first thing that kind of awoken me to, hey, there's something more here than just a hoax by the Tsarist police.
That is amazing. Now, did you look at the protocols before you wrote your books on Darwin, your two books on Darwin?
Not until many years after I'd written the books on Darwin. But as I kept reading the protocols, I found other things that made no sense if this was a hoax by the Tsarist police. And this is one. You know, we've had so much talk about in this country about how the Constitution is being destroyed, right? And the president, you know, gets us involved in police actions without a declaration of war from Congress, and Obama's issuing these executive orders, as previous presidents have, that override the Constitution. He has no authority to give these executive orders, which take on the authority of law. Well, it says in the protocols, I'm quoting directly here, it says, this is back in 1900, quote, in the near future, we shall establish the responsibility of presidents. We shall arrange elections in favor of such presidents as have in this past some dark, undiscovered stain. They will then be trustworthy agents. You think of Lyndon Johnson and Woodrow Wilson. Continuing the quote, it says, we shall invest the president with the right of declaring a state of war. We shall justify this last right on the ground that the president, as chief of the whole army, must have it at his disposal. Now listen to this. It says, the president will, at our discretion, interpret the sense of such of the existing laws as admit of various interpretation. He will further annul them when we indicate to him the necessity to do so. Besides this, we'll have the right to propose temporary laws and even new departures in the government constitutional working, the pretext for one and the other being the requirements for the supreme welfare of the state. That's exactly what's going on in America. Now, if this was written for the people of Russia in 1900, why would they mention presidents and constitutions and executive orders and things like that? They had a czar, not a president. And so, again, I was looking at something that made no sense if you're going to call this a hoax by the Tsar's police.
Indeed, you've looked at this in a very, very critical way. Yes, indeed. Those are very, those are internal evidences. And I think that when you're looking at a book, whether it's a book from antiquity or whether it's, you know, a current version of something, there are always internal flaws or internal evidences of an agenda or some other element that is questionable. And, and you have found those.
Yes, so I would just invite anyone to look through the protocols. You know, they talk about all the things we see unfolding today. For example, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the idea of world government and how national sovereignty is being destroyed progressively in the European Union, how NAFTA is supposed to become a North American Union in order to ultimately have a dictatorship through a world government. Well, look what the protocols say. It says in Protocol 511, for example, by these means, we shall wear down the goyim, so they'll be compelled to offer us international power that by its position will enable us without any violence to absorb all the state forces of the world and to form a super government. Well, there's your world government. It talks about it in several places, in there. And it also talks about, the use of Freemasonry, of communism, revolution, the overthrowing of monarchies, which is something we're going to be talking about later, establishing a figure who sounds very much like Big Brother or the Antichrist on his throne. And there's, you know, there's one that, Deanna, really threw me early on. And, you know, it talked about distressing the people through the inoculation of diseases. And, you know, I said, we don't inoculate people with diseases. What are they talking about? Well, a couple of years after I read that, I started doing vaccine research, and I'm a registered nurse myself. And
well, that's
started
right.
I started to realize that so many of the autoimmune phenomena we see it taking place, whether it's lupus, the autism that's striking our country now that we didn't have before they started these triple vaccines, and the ADHD and the sudden infant death syndrome, and ulcerative colitis and a whole Lou Gehrig's disease, a host of autoimmune diseases where all of a sudden the immune system is going out of whack. And, of course, you know, we're requiring children to get 33 vaccinations, or I think it's even more than 33 now probably, before they even start school, and it's mandatory. And there's never been any long-term safety studies on these vaccines, may I add. And since everybody's forced to be vaccinated, we don't have a control population of unvaccinated kids compared to, but I suddenly looked back and looked at the protocols and I said, oh my word, that's what they're talking about. When they say inoculation of diseases, they're talking about vaccination. Because you know what that is, of course, a vaccine is you take the disease and inject it right into your child. It's been attenuated or weakened, they say, but they give you, in the MMR, you know, the mumps, measles, rubella vaccine, they give you three germs simultaneously along with, you know, the mercury and the formaldehyde and other poisons that go into these vaccines. And of course, the human body is not designed, the immune system is not designed to handle three diseases simultaneously if they are attenuated and weakened. And so I looked at this and I said, how could the Tsar's police possibly have known that? Not possible. Not possible. We're talking about in the protocols about things that are really occurring in our world today. And here's one, maybe just one more that really made me almost fall off the chair. It says that, quote, in order that the masses may not guess what they are about, we further distract them with amusements, games, pastimes, passions. Soon we will begin through the press to propose competitions in art, in sport of all kinds. Well, the protocols were published in 1903. Hey, that's also the first year of the World Series, 1896, they revived the Olympics. And now you've got fathers sitting all day watching football. You can watch, you know, NFL football all day long, different games, not just your local game. It's sports 24 hours a day, kids watching video games. And they're talking about games. How did the Tsar's police foresee a world dominated by amusement? And, of course, when people are dominated by amusement, they work all day because they're, you know, they're... Oop, here
indeed.
We go with our break. But,
yes, we'll
with,
pick this
with
up.
With a lot of material.
Yes, this is just fascinating, James. Thank you so much. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Love America. Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And just as a side note, you may listen to the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion by going to my website where you can download an MP3 file of it. A gentleman by the name of Lindsay recorded this. And it's so if you don't want to read them, you can listen to them. This is really fascinating information. And getting back to even the vaccines, one would have to understand and assume that in order for them to orchestrate all of these things, that they would have to take control of a lot of organizations. Like the American Academy of Pediatrics, and all those other organizations, early on, in order to create the schedules, to create the mentality, and even some of the government agencies that run these things or that oversee some of these activities, they would have to control those.
Oh, absolutely. The American Medical Association came under the control back around 1900, and of course, we've always known that people at the FDA, when they leave the FDA, often sign on with the big pharma companies that are producing drugs and vaccines at six-figure salaries. So there's been massive control, and of course, it's extended to the media. That was one of the main priorities, which, of course, are discussed at several places in media control, is discussed several places in the protocols. And when you control the media, you control what people think and believe about events.
Indeed. We had a lady on earlier this week that talked about Gardasil. And even the person, the doctor that was in charge of developing the Gardasil and the other vaccine, apparently the one for males, came out in 2009 and said that, well, she wanted to divulge what she knew about it because she wanted to be able to sleep at night. And she said that those vaccines were not even tested, that they're dangerous. And this lady came out, her name is Dr. Diane Harper, and she was the lead researcher in the development of these vaccines. And and certainly this falls under the category that we find in the protocols about what they're going to be doing. And of course, this is sort of a depopulation program, wouldn't you say?
In fact, in my chapter Vaccines, I start out by quoting people like Bertrand Russell, Ted Turner, Robert McNamara, Prince Philip, all who have talked about the need to reduce world population by billions, by reducing it to 5% of what it is now. And, of course, they don't plan to take themselves out. They're talking about other people, and they're talking about Bill Gates now has been talking about the horror of overpopulation while at the same time spending $10 billion from his foundation to develop vaccines. $10 billion on vaccines from Bill Gates. Now, if he thinks that overpopulation is a big problem and vaccines make you healthy, wouldn't vaccines increase the overpopulation problem? But if it's designed to kill people and make them ill, then Bill Gates is not contradicting himself when he talks about the dangers of overpopulation and funds vaccines.
Right. And people don't seem to put the two pieces together. How can a geneticist be wanting to or claiming to be helping people in third world countries and have these two opposing mentalities? It just doesn't fly.
No, and no one would deny that Bill Gates is logical enough to understand the contradiction of what he's saying and doing.
Oh, absolutely. If he's yes, indeed, given his background and whatnot. Of course, his parents were also believed in depopulation. So,
right. And I understand he's also heavily invested in Monsanto, but that's probably for another discussion.
Right.
But maybe we should just get before we wrap up the protocols. We just talk a little about the hoax explanation, and by there's just one of more than 20 chapters in my book. But if you talk to people, they'll say that the protocols were discredited as a hoax a long time ago. And what happened was they were originally suppressed. They were originally put in Russia, and all copies there were destroyed. And it was actually the death penalty under the Bolsheviks, under the communists. If you owned the copy, it was a death penalty. But a copy made its way to the London Museum. And it was translated there by Victor Marsden, who had been tortured by the Bolsheviks, imprisoned. And within a year of translating the protocols, he died. And then there was a furious reaction from the press. And just 1 year later, 1921, Philip Graves of the London Times published the classic refutation of the protocols. He was their Constantinople correspondent. And he said that in Constantinople, he'd been approached by a mysterious Mr. X. And he never said who Mr. X was. He said Mr. X said he was a Russian emigre, and he had proof that the protocols were a forgery. And he gave, according to Graves, he gave him a book published in 1864 in France by Maurice Joly called The Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. And he said Mr. X supposedly told Graves, if you look, you'll see that the Tsar's police simply stole the protocols from this book. And he did indeed produce about a dozen passages which resembled each other undeniably. However, Graves was putting forward a hypothesis which is actually flawed. His hypothesis was if you have two books and resemble each other, the later one must have been plagiarized from the first. Well, that's not true. If you look at the Bible, we'll pick this up after the break.
All righty. Be right back with our guest today. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over?
Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You can get it at Amazon. It is a Kindle edition. It's only $10, just a little less than $10, and is a very, very wonderful book, really a good book, very comprehensive, covers a lot of information, so consider purchasing that book. Okay, we're talking about the protocols and the fact that just because the second book had something that was similar to the first book, then obviously, well, it must be using faux logic. It must be a copy or a forgery.
From the first book, exactly. Well, the analogy which I was trying to go into was the Bible. You know, if you look at the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, they have some passages which are strikingly similar and almost verbatim. And yet I know no Christian theologian that says, therefore, two of the Gospels must be forgeries. The fact is that they relied on some common sources, and you can explain resemblances in that way. In my book, since the author of the initial book, the Dialogue in Hell, was a revolutionary in France, Maurice Joly, I suspected that he was a Freemason, a Grand Orient Freemason, as most of the European and French revolutionaries were, and that he'd probably been exposed to an early version of the protocols in a Freemasonic lodge. And interesting enough, after I published this book, Henry Makow, you may have heard of him, mm-hmm. was a Jewish scholar, but he also talks about the protocols. I've actually written a couple of articles for his website recently, a very fine intellectual. in his book, The Illuminati, which he recently published, he points out that Joly, in fact, attended the same Freemasonic lodge where the protocols were being housed. So it's very clear that he saw a copy of the protocols, which analysts like William Guy Carr said were developed starting in the 18th century, and he took some of the phrases and incorporated them into his novel, which he hoped would help overthrow Napoleon III. And so it was not the protocols being copied from Joly. It was Joly copying the protocols. But I do want to say that this is not something anyone should attribute to the Jewish race broadly. I'm half Jewish myself. My father was Jewish. He would have no knowledge whatsoever of this document. This is something that is obviously the work of an inner circle very high up in this whole Illuminati Freemasonic conspiracy.
Oh, exactly. Okay. I'm looking at this chapter here, and okay, did you want to cover anything else about the protocols?
No, I think we've covered that. We should move on to something else.
All righty. Cyber tyranny. We are all, well, a lot of people are on the internet. A lot of people have the same kind of email clients, is the same kind of, like Gmail or Yahoo or some of those. And some of the more popular ones are really being taken over. And it's really obvious they want you to sign up for new features in the email. And they are really wanting to surveil your emails, what you're writing, who you're writing to, what you're talking about. And this is just pretty awful. And, of course, this would not be happening if we were all using regular mail. But when you think of how easily the government, using the Internet, can access the things that we are talking about, wow.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. It's very important. And obviously, the Internet is extremely convenient. I use it, of course. I do shopping with it. I do research with it. I found out important things through it. And that's a sacrifice they're willing to make to get that intrusion into our lives. You know, back around the 1950s, if the U.S. government wanted to infiltrate, let's say, a group of some kind that they didn't like, well, they'd have to get one of their agents to insinuate himself into that group and win its confidence and pretend, you know, I was a communist for the FBI, that kind of thing, right? But today, they don't have to do that. They can sit in Washington drinking their Starbucks coffee and read your email and know who your friends are and what your political beliefs are, and they can get a composite profile of you. You know, and in the book, I love the book 1984 by George Orwell. So much of it is coming true today. He was attached to MI6, and it's very clear that he knew what was forthcoming. Even when he published that book in 1949, he already had been given insights into what was coming into the world, that your TV would be able to spy on you and that the government would surveil you. Well, in that, you might recall that in that novel, which has been made into a movie 3 or 4 times, the best one, I think, really the Richard Burton version. But at the end, the secret police are trying to break him. They finally take him to the room that every prisoner dreads. It's room 101, and room 101 is different for every prisoner. It contains that person's greatest fear. Now, in this case, the hero of 1984 is named Winston Smith, and his greatest fear is rats because of a traumatic experience he had with them when he was a child. And so they put his head into a cage that has a trap door. If they open that trap door, these hungry sewer rats are going to devour his face. Well, the guy just totally loses it. And he just goes nuts. And at that point, he's subdued. Well, how do they know his greatest fear? They monitored his conversations. They monitored him through the TV sets that were transmitting as well as receiving. Could the government know a person's greatest fear today? Very easy, by you monitoring their emails, copying their hard drives onto a supercomputer. They could just go into that and find out all the information they needed to know about that person's profile and know how to push that person's buttons and get to them. And that's just one example, but clearly, you know, if you look at the history of wars, wars are often won on the basis of intelligence gathering. I understand that during the World War II, the African Desert War, Rommel was usually winning when he was able to intercept British messages, and the British were usually winning when they were able to intercept the German messages. If you have good intelligence, you'll win the war. Well, in this Illuminati war on mankind, they know that intelligence gathering is vital to have information on people, to track everything that's going on. If anybody's plotting against them, something against them, they can now know that. They can intercept your cell phone conversations. They can read your emails, and it doesn't matter. Of course, people have, it's fine to have, you know, antivirus, that kind of protection on your software to keep hackers out, but it's not going to keep the government out, which licenses the company that creates the virus software. They're going to be able to look. In fact, I talked to a young gentleman who was studying at West Point, and he said that in one of his West Point classes, he was told by a visiting instructor that the U.S. government can indeed look into any computer in America. And I don't know if that includes the ones that are not directly hooked up to the internet or not, but the implication was that yes, they can get into any computer they want and find out whatever they want. They can look at your bank statements, etc.
Right. Of course, you have to put all that stuff in there, and so many people are willing to give their all of their secrets. Well, look at Facebook. My goodness, the things that people post on Facebook, it's unbelievable. I'm sure that there is a really good benefit. For instance, if you have a business or something like that that you would like to advertise and or discuss things with your clients or customers, but to post personal information is just the stupidest thing that I've. Why would anybody do that?
And I'm going to talk about another aspect of this. You know, in 1984, the novel. Anyway, this is a novel we need to take pretty seriously. You know, the hero Winston Smith works at what they call the Ministry of Truth, and he's constantly updating newspapers and magazines to make it change what they said in the past. And I'll just quote from the book, 1984. Day by day and almost minute by minute, the past was brought up to date. In this way, every prediction made by the party could be shown by documentary evidence to have been correct. Nor was any item of news or expression of opinion which conflicted with the needs of the moment ever allowed to remain on record, unquote. Now, when I read the book the first time, I thought, well, how can you change what newspapers said in the past? You can't do that. Well, take a look at the digital information age. Now it is possible. Newsweek is no longer in hard copy. It's going to be all digital. Now, once the information becomes digital, it's very easy for a bureaucrat, like in the novel 1984, to go back and change what it said in the past year to make it agree with the current needs of the party in power. So we see that Orwell was not wrong. Orwell was simply ahead of his time in a way that people, when they first read the book, could not fathom.
Indeed. Just a comment from a listener, getting back to the vaccine issue. Let me just read it to you. This is from Joe. He said, some say it's about the money. If so, why do they not inject a harmless saline or sugar solution? And when very few get a particular disease, they can claim that the vaccine works. But in fact, and that's the end of his statement. But in fact, if these solutions that they are injecting, which you say are viruses, and of course they are viruses plus all the other garbage that they put in those vaccines, those are designed to really kill and depopulate.
Right. And by the way, they won't kill you instantly. If a child dropped dead the moment it's injected, everyone would mimic the cause and effect. So obviously no one would allow it, their children to be injected. So they have to work slowly over time. But I've seen too many cases. I'll just give you some unnamed few. I'm a registered nurse. I saw a patient in the hospital who was paralyzed. And the day before it became paralyzed, it had a flu vaccine. And all the workup, all the scans were negative. He said to me, it had to be the flu vaccine. How could I disagree with that? I have a friend who's had a healthy son around 20 years old who and now has a crippling disease, and he got that disease very shortly after receiving a chickenpox vaccine, which his mother did not even want to get. She didn't even know he was being given it. I have a friend who has a daughter who's a vegetable since age of 7 when she was vaccinated, and it's not just an occasional person who has a bad side effect. The whole spectrum of health disorders, we have such a large percentage of children now with health issues, you know, asthma and ADHD and so many things that weren't around before. And it's not that we're, people say, oh, we're just getting better at recognizing autism. No, no, no. If autism was always around, where are all the 70 and 80 year old autistics? where are they? You know, it started, there was no autism in Japan before they started introducing these vaccines, for example. You know, it's very clearly cause and effect. But because the media is under control, they're going to ridicule that idea. So you've got to step outside the CNN, New York Times box and start looking at alternative media. One good thing about the Internet, they had to give us that freedom. And so we need to use that freedom while we can to find out the truth about things.
Indeed. All righty. What else about the Internet that is something that you want to... I'm scanning the chapter as we're going through this.
Well, another thing, of course, besides information becoming digital, our finances are becoming digital. You know, we had this transition, the hardness of money. You know, we started out with gold and silver coins, and went to paper money. Now our finances are becoming digital, and just as information can be wiped out when it's digital, your bank account could be wiped out by a bureaucrat as well when it only exists in a digital form.
With a couple of
keystrokes. That's something else to be thinking about.
Yes. Now, I don't do anything banking online. I do buy things over the Internet, but I don't have my banking records. I like to buy on the Internet, but I also like to support the local store. But it's so easy just to click and get a package into
it. Yes, I've done it many times.
Yeah, I do it a lot. All righty. What about the destruction of nations? Let's see.
Yes, we can talk about that. That's a very big topic, very important one.
And I also want to go back to the Freemasonry kind of thing, because that is a we find that element of Freemasonry in so many things, and yet there have been a few countries that have outlawed Freemasons. I think even the Catholic Church at one time was totally against Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, but it hasn't always been a negative factor in any culture.
I'm sorry, it hasn't always been a what factor?
A negative factor.
Right. Correct. Well, we do have a chapter in the book on Freemasonry, and I acknowledge, of course, in the chapter that... probably more than 95% of all American Freemasons are not up to anything sinister. They're engaging in basically harmless fellowship and some charitable activities, and we're not knocking first, second, third degree Masons at all. But there's no question that there's also been, over the years, a dark side to Freemasonry, perhaps more so amongst the European continental Grand Orient Masonry than the Scottish Rite type. But there's no question that Freemasons were the backbone of the French Revolution. They plotted it in 2,000 lodges, and when the General Assembly met and overthrew the king, almost every member of that General Assembly was a Freemason. And, of course, they were behind the overthrow of the King of Portugal in 1910. They were, the backbone of the Mazzini and Garibaldi revolutions. This isn't often mentioned. When you read about the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, which set off World War One, they'll tell you it was done by Serbian nationalists. What they don't tell you is that they were all Freemasons, and that a Freemasonic edict calling for his assassination had been given out. And one of the assassins at his trial freely boasted, he said, in Freemasonry, it's permitted to kill. These young guys around 1920 who'd been collared to do the job and didn't really understand who they were obeying or what the ultimate goals were. But there's certainly, while we acknowledge that there's no, for the most part in America, there's not a dark side to Freemasonry, on the other hand, it might be pointed out that we have had very high-ranking Freemasons on the Supreme Court over the years who have been involved in some of the dismantling of the Constitution, and I think it's probably fair to say that these men received some private orders and that it wasn't just innocent misunderstandings of the Constitution on their part, but rather they had received orders to dismantle the Constitution, and they considered the privileges they'd received as a result of being 33rd degree Masons to outweigh any sort of oath of loyalty they had taken to uphold the United States Constitution. So there's been a dark side in America, too. And actually, although it's certainly true that American Freemasons, you know, well over 95% are not engaged in any sort of subversive activity today, you might say the revolutionary activity that happened a couple hundred years ago, because you can make a pretty strong case that the American Revolution was, to a great extent, a Freemasonic event. In fact, the famous Boston Tea Party, the Sons of Liberty, were all belonged to the same Freemasonic lodge that used to meet at the Green Dragon Tavern in Boston. And if you go, I grew up in Lexington, Mass. If you go, which is where the first shots were fired, right? You go to the American Heritage Museum there, in Lexington, Mass. It's run by the Freemasons. So there's definitely, was a time when Freemasonry was engaged in revolutionary activity here in America as well. But there's obviously no need to today because, you know, King George is gone and that revolution is long over. But there's no question about the fact that over the years, Freemasonry has been tied to revolution, and these revolutions and overthrowing of monarchies has in turn led us towards world government.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Another question, and this is also from Joe, and he asks, is it possible for the government to put child porn on someone's computer in order to discredit them publicly, like perhaps a potential whistleblower?
I would say that absolutely. And, you know, Dr. John Coleman, author of the book, The Committee of 300, talks about that. He was a former MI6 officer, MI6, of course, being the British CIA. He talks about the fact that it is very possible to put something onto your computer. You know, as a matter of fact, I had an elderly family member being assisted by a Mac specialist who remotely put something onto my father's computer, in a good way, right? But you could certainly put, plans to blow up an abortion clinic or something onto somebody's computer, and then the local police will discover that, think this guy has committed a crime. I don't think they're doing that to any great extent, today, but I think at some point that may be happening with greater frequency so that people can be incriminated. It looks as if they were plotting a massive, act of terrorism. And all the evidence is right there on the computer, but put on there remotely. I don't doubt at all that that can be done.
Exactly. In fact, when they were testing, or, well, they actually didn't test it, but when they were putting aspartame, making it more available to the public and whatnot, there were some doctors that were opposing this. And one of the doctors, it was a lady doctor, had a grown son. And he received a package from UPS, and within moments after getting the package, some black suits showed up at his door, confiscated the package, which happened to contain child porn, and they called the lady doctor, his mother, and said, okay, either you quit your investigation of aspartame, or we're going to accuse your son of being being engaged in child porn.
Exactly. You know, in a high-tech age, it's very easy to use that tech for criminal and evil purposes, no doubt about it.
Right. And also the current case of Edgar Steele. They certainly placed a lot of evidence, planted a lot of evidence. They even redid his voice. They picked up his voice print and then created audio files with his voice print that sound just like him. Or that is him, because they pieced it together. They created
I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, if you go on the internet, you know, for under $100, you can get a voice changer so that you can answer your own phone. I could answer mine. I don't own one, but if I bought one, I could answer the phone of the female secretary and then pretend to be somebody else and then pretend to be somebody else. We just keep changing my. You can even change a man's voice into a child. Well, the government has technology that's way ahead of that, and exactly as you say, they can capture a person's voice print, and using that voice print, create a message that will sound just like that person, and then that could be used as evidence in court. Look, we've got this tape recording, this recording of this person plotting this crime, and it's like, what's a jury going to think? Again, high tech can be used for very evil purposes, and so I think one caution we need to have amongst ourselves as people who are investigating this stuff, if we hear about a fellow anti-Illuminati writer who's been accused of something, take it with a grain of salt, because that person may have been framed in a high-tech way.
Sure. Alrighty, we are going to our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.